From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
The new home for the Chicago White Sox.
ESPN 1000.
Live from Oak Forest Bowl,
you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Days. We have been together for 14 years as a radio show, the Waddle and Sylvie Show. We appreciate all the support of our great fans. We have been through some championships with the Cubs winning it in 16, with the Blackhawks winning three of these things. One day, Waddle, you and I will celebrate a Bears championship.
Will
hopefully.
We? Will we?
Yeah, we weren't together for Bulls championships. Hopefully no. Those days will come again. And the White Sox could be on the verge here as we are your home for White Sox baseball.
I would say that's the most likely championship we will celebrate in the coming days.
Yeah, and maybe this year. But I've all like outside of those championship celebrations, outside of those days where we were at Ditka's after the Cubs won it all,
Coach,
and when we were in Millennium Park.
That's right. Do you remember? We flew back and went straight to
Ditka's. We did the show from Ditka's.
We each had like 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah,
with that.
Right. And wasn't Urlacher with us too?
Yes.
Coach Ditka and Urlacher.
That's right.
After the World Series. I believe after one of the Blackhawks championships, we were out.
So drunk that flight home.
Oh,
you were.
Well, what do you
I
expect?
I get it. I'm just saying, like, you were hammered.
One Hawks championship, we were outside Millennium. We were in Millennium Park.
Yeah.
Another one, I believe we were in St. Charles. Do you remember that? St. Charles has always been a good spot to us.
Good place to celebrate a Blackhawks Stanley
right.
Cup championship.
Right. They were having the parade, and we were driving. But we always have had great support out there. I believe
of course.
That's where we were. The point of this is, outside of those days that I remember well, I don't remember a day quite like today where the emotional strings have been pulled quite like they've been pulled for Cubs fans. And for Sox fans to be revitalized and rejuvenated after your team's not been playing that well recently, but knowing you have an 8-game lead and knowing you're going for it and knowing you're not scared to make a move with the Cubs, and you go get Craig Kimbrell, you send Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer over here, you get the second baseman in Hernandez yesterday, you get Tapera yesterday. Like, I don't remember that the – look at that little mouse over there.
I saw a little one over there
yeah,
before, too.
That was kind of cool. And then I don't remember
cool
a
if you
flurry.
Like mice.
Rats I don't like. Mice are cute.
Okay.
Like 2 o'clock. Well, first, I got a call. I was urinating, and Mike Thomas called me.
While you were urinating?
Yes. I picked up because, when your boss is calling you 20 minutes before a show, you pick up the phone, and I'm like, I didn't want it to go to voicemail, and I'm like, hey, don't pardon the noise, but I'm in the middle here. And he's like, okay. He's like, we're going to go on the air now. I'm like, hey, what's up? Because we were shooting some videos for before the show.
Yeah.
He's like, they just traded Kimbrell to the White Sox. So we went on a little bit early today. I don't remember from 1:40 till about 3:30 when the KB return was still coming down. A day quite like today. Do you?
No, certainly not. I mean, obviously different circumstances. Like you said, we've done shows celebrating a championship or two, but nothing quite like this. And especially, look, the Major League Baseball trade deadline, there were some big stories. I mean, the Dodgers getting Scherzer and Trey Turner, that's a huge story. I mean, there was a lot going on. Schwarber goes, where'd he go, to the Red Sox. But when it included both baseball teams to the degree it did, like, there's no chance there we've gone through anything that compares to this.
It's just crazy. And to dismantle a championship team in a matter of hours that took years to build and was spread over years of when they were all acquired. And in with so many different Cubs fans, if you take a poll, you know, some of them were Baez people. Some of them were Rizzo people.
Yeah.
Some of them were KB people. Those were the fan favorites. Those were the core players that we talk so much about. And a couple of words here, if I can. Just
have at it, brother.
Okay, first of all, for all the Sox fans coming at me, and I already saw the marquee. Someone sent us a picture of the Wrigleyville marquee. And like basically rooting the White Sox well
since
now.
We
give up, go Sox, right? All right. You were here 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Sox fans. you weren't tearing down a championship team. You were tearing down years of mediocrity, first of all. So don't come at me, because you know what the Cubs just tore down? The Cubs just tore down an era of baseball that everyone on the South Side would happily take right now. If I gave you one World Series and three league championship series, you would take exactly that. So first of all, when you come up to me and you're all chesty and you're making fun of Cubs fans today, you were tearing down Chris Sale cutting up your jerseys.
I just don't want to get hit with the shrapnel.
You were tearing down Drake LaRoche being in the clubhouse. You were tearing down complete disastrous teams that were never going anywhere in the first place, all right? Like, I'm getting worked up right now. So when you come at me over this Cubs Sox thing and you're making fun of the Cubs.
By the way, that's a cute T-shirt you got on.
I'm wearing the Kevin Rizzo shirt.
That's
all right?
Cute.
That's number one. And look, you should chant. You should chant, "Let's go White Sox," because your team is fantastic. But I'm going to tell you this, Cubs fans, and I told you this in 2015 when the Cardinal fans were laughing at us back then after they walked us off. Cap did a poll question on who your favorite Cub is. Is it Ernie Banks, Ron Santo, or Anthony Rizzo? Those are like 50 years apart. Those are Cubs players from 50 years apart. Do you know why? It's because the Cubs sucked for so many damn years, and they didn't know how to build a damn team. Where it took them from the 69 Cubs to basically get to the 2016 Cubs to get to fan favorites. Sure, there was Mark Gray. Sure, there was Sammy Sosa. Sure, there was Andre Dawson and Ryne Sandberg. But there weren't these championship Cubs teams. And in order to get back there, you're going to have to take a couple of steps back.
I feel like I'm being yelled at.
I'm pointing a finger. I'm not
pointing
it at you.
I know, but you're looking at me.
Well, who's my radio partner here?
I got it, but I feel like I'm being... Go ahead.
So, look, have a drink today. Drown your sorrows. And say and toast to the 2016 championship and toast to the golden era of Cubs baseball. Because that's exactly what we had. We should be appreciative over what it was. We should be sad that it's over. But we should be hopeful that this isn't going to be another 1945 to 1920 to 2016 thing. This isn't a 1908 thing till 2016 thing. They're trying to do what the Boston Red Sox do. The Boston Red Sox are never sad when they let go of all their star players who win previous World Series. They trade them, they move on, and they build another championship. Hell if I know if Jed's qualified to do it or if he's going to do it. But I do believe in the long run, a day like today was needed. Yes. I'm tired of going to the postseason and not having a shot to win it because my team can't hit. I loved it when I knew Baez is coming up, Bryant is coming up, Rizzo is coming up, Contreras is coming up.
Strikeout.
Schwarber's coming up, and I'm getting all excited. Oh, we got Schwarber, and then we got Javi, and then we got Bryant, and then we got Rizzo, and this is going to be great. We're going to score 5 runs this inning. And then, like Waddle said, it was strikeout, high heat. It was time. It is time.
It's been time for a couple years.
And again, Let's raise our glasses.
You almost drank hand sanitizer.
So to this Miller Lite, it's Miller time. I'm going to drink that,
yeah,
too.
You grabbed hand sanitizer.
Here's what I'm going to do, all kidding aside. To my Cubs fans who are listening, I am toasting my Miller Lite to you into the greatest era of Cubs baseball. And you wait a minute here. Give me a second. And to my Sox fan friends, while I told you, I am not a hater, to great days ahead. All right? Cheers, everybody, during happy hour in Miller time.
Now drink your hand sanitizer.
All right, now let's get to the phones. 312-332-3776. How was that? I mean, it wasn't 2015 rantish, but, and I didn't go off of paper. This is how I'm feeling right now. It's for the best.
I think you felt like this for quite some time, that this was coming for quite some time. Like, this is nothing new. You could have done this a year and a half ago, and you would have understood.
But now I really know. You know what I mean? If it was done a year and a half ago, we would have maybe been more angry. I've seen it enough. I know there's nothing else there.
There's nothing there.
And if they bring one or two of them back, I'm cool with it. But this team needs
to
restructure.
There's no reason to stay together for the kids any longer.
Mike in Olympia, Washington, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mikey?
Hey, guys. First, let me just say, I listen to you guys all the time on the podcast. Kind of makes me feel like I'm closer to home every now and then.
But the main reason,
I mean, you guys led me up perfectly to exactly what I want to talk about. But the fact is, though, you know, it is a little too late for you know, doing this the way they're doing it. They're not going to get a single top 100 prospect out of any of these trades. Madrigal was the closest thing to one, and he's already aged out of what that would be. And if you're building a team around a contact hitter, he would have been a perfect piece with this core that they had. He's not a guy you build a team around. And the idea that, you know, Schwarber, Almora, Russell, all these guys that they had, first-round picks, every single one, gone with nothing. They could have been trading those guys over the last few years. We get nothing for any of that, you know. And then, I hear a lot of people saying they're going to re-sign it, you know, they're going to bring Rizzo back, you know, or whatever. Give me one example besides Chapman of that happening. I don't know of one. I mean, I don't. I mean, if you guys do, let me know, but... No, as far as I know, there's not a single example of that. But
yeah, I don't think they're bringing any of the guys back.
I'd have to look. I know the Reds bring Lester back. He ultimately chose the Cubs, but they really tried after trading him to Oakland. But look, it's Rick. You fan the way you want. You're more angry that it didn't turn out to be more, or didn't capitalize more off of a lot of those guys. You're right. They sold low on some of them.
He just kicked you in the marbles.
I don't think so because I do believe some of these prospects are so young. They got a lot of youngsters that they could turn into top 100. And I want to talk to Keith Law, who loved the Rizzo return from the Yankees for an aging guy with a bad back. Again, like what did they have left? You know, I think they did pretty well.
Well, yeah, and I thought one of the anomalies or one of the strange things from the entire trade deadline was the Yankees were requesting that the teams that they were trading with, those guys would pay the remainder of the salaries on the guys they were acquiring.
Ken from Homer Glen, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Longtime listener. As someone who was born and raised in Chicago, I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. And I've committed the Chicago sin of also being a Packers fan. And so this summer with the Aaron Rodgers saga, I didn't even know, you know, up until Sunday, I had no idea what was going to happen with him. And I thought it was kind of interesting with his interview with Kenny Mayne and then the interview presser that he just had a few days ago where he's talking about how the players are the ones who build the team, you know, and from a respectable standpoint. And now I'm looking at the Cubs. And it's a very reflective day, but it's hard for me to kind of accept how some of these guys were treated, you know, in their last years as the Cubs. And even down to the last game of yesterday, you know, David Ross is in a position because Rizzo and all those guys embraced him in 2016, and he pretty much got a farewell tour. And just to see him not be able to at least get Rizzo and Brian an at-bat in the last game, it's just very disheartening. And I just want to know your guys' thoughts on how everything in the last year's
I want to ask you a follow-up. I agree with his latter point, but I want to know how they were mistreated, though, before that.
Well, if you look at Brian, you know, they delayed his MLB start just to gain an extra year. And, you know, from his standpoint, he was ready to go. And so, you know, from a financial standpoint, they really just dragged their feet on paying this guy up until the point where the whole thing was just, you know, crumbled in pieces.
Do you want, again, I'll ask you the question. Do you want to pay Chris Bryant $300 million? Do you want to be tied into a contract that pays him $300 million?
Heading into the season, probably not. But, you know, after 2017 or 18, should have been a conversation. And things should have probably gotten done a lot sooner.
But maybe it was for the best, right?
I mean, you're 4 years removed from that. You don't want to be paying him $40 million a year right now based on what he's done recently.
Jesse is going to join us coming up next. He's going to recap what they got back and what he's hearing about what they got back. Jed's speaking at 5:30, so we'll get more clarification from the Cubs standpoint. Again, Craig Kimbrel in the big bombshell today was traded to the White Sox for Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer. The Cubs traded not only Craig Kimbrel, but they traded Javi Baez and Chris Bryant and Jake Marisnyk today. They also traded Anthony Rizzo yesterday. They are clearing the decks. We'll talk to Jesse about what the plan is going forward next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie, live from Oak Forest Bowl. Let the Miller Lite flow.
This is Waddle and Sylvie, live on ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
What a day trade deadline turned out to be. We're live at Oak Forest. We're at Oak Forest Bowl. We got a great crowd at the Beer Garden.
Some very happy Sox fans.
Yeah, one of the best venues we've ever done a show at. You know, it's a picture-perfect day. It's been so hot recently. Today was a nice little reset, kind of like the Cubs are doing, where you can kind of scale back a little bit, and then hopefully there are hotter days ahead.
Well, now you don't have to watch Cubs baseball for the remainder of the season.
It's not going to be fun. That's for sure. I've been tired of them the last week or two with all their players. Like, maybe there'll be some young players I want to see, but the rest of the year is just like, okay, you know, you go out to Wrigley to enjoy the day like the old days, but
they'll still get 35,000 out there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and a lot of those tickets are sold.
Yeah.
I want to take all your calls, 312-332-3776. Let's go to Jesse Rogers right now, who joins us, covering just a heck of a day. Jesse, if we would have told you a couple days ago, two, 3 days ago, that they all would have been gone, would you have believed it?
No, I would not have. I would have believed it back in January after Darvish was traded and Lester was let go. I remember telling you guys the one thing I'd learned from the front office and ownership is they were taking all emotion out of things. So I wouldn't have been surprised back then if we discussed this kind of a day. But as the season went along and the way Jed had talked, it just felt like a couple were going to stay one way or another. They were going to try to sign them up and retool a little quicker. This does feel like 2012, like a full-on rebuild sort of thing. I mean, I tweeted out the names getting called up from AAA. I mean, you need a farm director to help you with this stuff, right? It's going to be a bit, unless they really hit home runs in free agency, which, of course, normally you're overpaying for if you do that anyway. So it just felt like the way they were talking, they were going to keep a couple of these guys and move forward. Having said all that, it's better to do it all the way or not at all, right? This halfway thing probably wasn't going to work either, because think about it. You sign Javi Baez, you know, and 2 years into it, the contract looks bad, and then these young players are coming up, and all of a sudden you're sort of off. Like, it's either you go all the way or you don't at all, and he went all the way. So I think at the end of the day, it may have been the right thing to do.
I don't think any of these guys are going to be brought back in the offseason as free agents. What do you think?
I mean, no. There's always that small chance. I guess especially with Rizzo and the relationship. I mean, the money's going to be different, probably worse, though I do think he's going to have a good run there in that lineup. I think he was starting to look better at the plate. But regardless, no, I don't think so. But you never say never. It certainly looks like Jed Hoyer is changing the foundation of this team into a more contact-friendly situation and less swing and miss. I mean, the Madrigal deal, I like that deal. They got two major league players for Kimbrel, and that's what you should do. Not double-A players, two major league-ready players. One of them never strikes out, and that's something different from around here. So I don't think they're coming back, but I'll never say never when it comes to a guy like Rizzo, especially. Certainly not with KB, and very doubtful with Baez.
Yeah. Jesse, can the Cubs field their next good team with both Nico Hoerner and Nick Madrigal?
I think so. I'm not sure Horner's the long-term answer at short. Maybe he ends up in the outfield. He's that good of an athlete. But, if they're the two up the middle, I need to see more of Hoerner. I actually asked Ross exactly that question when he comes off the IL. Are we going to see him at short the rest of the year? And he wouldn't commit either way. But I imagine we're going to see a lot of him at shortstop. Look, I love their profiles, right? That's the word I'd use. But you need power elsewhere then if you're going to go to war with those two up the middle, right? They are contact hitters, which is what the Cubs need. Now you better hit a home run in right field when you replace Hayward, and a new left fielder and first base is a power position. So there's a lot of positions to fill. The only other sort of major league ready player in all these trades is probably the guy they got for Chapin, Greg Dykeman from Oakland, who's at AAA and has good numbers. But other than that, the rest of them are coming up in a couple years.
Obviously, with the benefit of hindsight, you know, Theo stepped away, and we can sit back and talk about it for however many reasons, but, like, was that the foreshadowing as well, that like, Theo knew what was going to transpire over the course of the first half of this year and leading up to the trade deadline?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think they all knew. And he wanted to give Jed full autonomy, you know, full authority for this reboot or retool, rebuild, whatever you want to call it. Yes, the moment they traded Darvish, I think we all knew. And in my heart, I knew as well. I just didn't know if they trade them all. You know, I didn't know if they trade them all. Look, if they kept one, we wouldn't be all shocked. We're only shocked that they traded them all. So that's the difference between being shocked and not shocked. So, yes, I think he stepped away, giving Jed the authority to reboot this thing, and we'll see how quickly they do it. I don't think they're going to dip heavy into the free agent market this year. How do you do that when you don't really have a right fielder, center fielder, left fielder, third base, or first base, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. You have a catcher, you have a second baseman now in Madrigal, a shortstop if he plays there in Horner, and you have Kyle Hendricks. I mean, legitimately, that's what you have in terms of star potential or legit potential, whatever you want to call it. So this is good. This seems like it's going to be a longer retool than Jed was sort of indicating. But I could be wrong. It can go quickly sometimes. We'll see.
Really quick, because I know you have to go for the conference call. How do you believe the Cubs did overall with the prospects?
I like it. Now, I've talked to our prospects guy, Kylie McDaniel at ESPN, and he likes it as well. I'm sort of going to quote him. They absolutely needed to get a couple major leaguers in the whole mix, and they did. A starting second baseman and a legit pitcher in Cody Hoyer. They did do that. I do like the haul they got. I would have liked to seen a little bit more major league ready players other than Dykeman. But Kylie McDaniel says they hit a triple for Rizzo, you know, and he said good things about the Bryant return. So I will say I think they did well. I do like the quantity. Like, you throw everything at the wall. If 10% of all prospects make it, well, you try to get as many as you can to increase the number that actually make it, right? So I do like what they did, again, using our prospects expert as guidance. And I have no problem with the Kimbrel trade. They go right to your major league roster, and that's what it should be for a guy like Kimbrel. Yep.
All right, Jesse, great stuff. Good work today. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
Very interesting day. Take care, guys.
There you go. There's Jesse Rogers. Phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. George from Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind, George?
Well, Sylvie asked me how I feel. I feel like a scene from The Godfather listening to you guys today when you started with Kimbrel and you went on to Baez and you went on to Bryan. It's like that scene where, like, they're knocking everybody off, but, you know, they're killing the whole team. But, I mean, you had to do it. I'm not saying you can't get nothing. You need to do the rebuild, but I'm trying to grip with reality right now.
Yeah, the reality is that it wasn't good enough anymore. The reality is they had a lot of good times, and these are guys who are going to have a good spot in your memory bank for a long time, but this team just wasn't good enough anymore for whatever reason. It didn't bear the fruit of this long-term dynasty and multiple championships, and now they have to move away from
Jeff,
it.
What did Jeff Passan say? He says, circle 2023, you know, because it'll be very difficult to get the thing up and going as fast as maybe everyone wants, but by 2023... maybe they are able to kind of resuscitate who they are and get back to being a difference-making team.
Unless Seth Jones is available, then they could go out and trade for Seth Jones.
Exactly,
and then,
good point.
And then maybe an old goalie.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin, on the south side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kev?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Two things I wanted to touch on real quick. So, one, I just can't believe that the Cubs got fleeced by the Sox again. It seems unthinkable to me. I hear everybody saying that, you know, Nick Madrigal, 317 contact, and I get all that, but is it not imaginable that you can get a contact hitter that also has some pop, i.e. Vlad Guerrero, you know, so on and so forth? Obviously, I know we don't have the tools or the resources to net someone like Vlad Guerrero. My point is, I don't think it necessarily has to be either or. I think we could try to shoot for both. And then the next thing I was going to say is just the fact that when we went and got Aroldis Chapman, we gave up Torres, who was a top, he was, I think, the number 28 prospect. So he was top 100 prospect. It was the same sort of scenario. Chapman was a rental, and then he ended up going back to the Yankees. why is it that the best we can do when we're giving up the best closer in the game right now, similar to what Chapman was, is, you know, a solid second baseman, but not, you know, I don't think it's the equivalent of the Torres for Chapman trade.
You know, Chuck are finding an interesting scenario that all these other teams were wheeling and dealing and trading prospects. And then when the dust settled, maybe the Sox, that was the best offer.
Everyone was out of trade chips.
Yeah, I don't know. I still like it. I know what you're saying. And Gleyber Torres had to turn out. You know, and I haven't looked at him lately. I know he was off to a slower start this year. I don't know if he's righted the ship. He's good. The Yankees.
His first 2 years with the Yankees were fantastic. He had 24 home runs and 38 home runs. Like many in the pandemic season last year, he was not very good. This year, he's hitting .248 with an on base of .332. So it hasn't been.
What are the power numbers?
He's 3.345 slug. His OPS is .676.
That's not good.
No. Yeah, so. Right. You know, he has followed up two really good seasons in the major leagues with two bad seasons. So,
I agree. There's something that one of the last callers said that I totally agree with about Madrigal. I want to get there. Sox fans, how do you feel about Rick Hahn making another move with the Cubs, going for it, not just to para, not just plugging the hole at second, but getting the best reliever out there in Craig Kimbrell, 312-332-3776. And Cubs fans, how do you feel here emotionally with all of your favorite Cubs of all time, perhaps, getting traded basically in one 24-hour period? 312-332-3776. We're having a great time drinking ice-cold Miller Lite. We are live at Oak Forest Bowl on ESPN 1000.
Live from the Oak Forest Bowl.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Let the Miller Lite flow.
Chicago's home for sports.
So much going on. What a world this is right now. With the White Sox going for it, getting Craig Kimbrell, sending Madrigal and Hoyer to the north side. They got their second baseman in Hernandez. They got Tapera they add to the bullpen. The Cubs just trading everybody. Everybody that you love, they're all gone now.
It's all gone. It's just a memory now. Enjoy the memories.
Chris Bryant's in San Francisco. Javi Baez is in New York with the Mets. Anthony Rizzo is in New York with the Yankees. And
Jake Marisnyk is in San Diego with the Padres.
Right, and then I mentioned Kimbrell as well.
Yeah.
Whew.
It's been a long, busy day.
The Bears are in camp. The Bulls got I.O. last night. How about that?
Yes, we didn't even talk about that.
No, that was a second-round pick.
Speaking of.
This is breaking news.
Speaking
powered
of Bulls,
by PointsBet Sportsbook. On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
What a day. All right. Sham Sharania from The Athletic is reporting now. Sources. The Bulls have extended the qualifying offer to Lauri Markkanen, making him a restrictive free agent. Markkanen, I hear the boos, is expected to have several suitors on the market.
Isn't the goal, too, like, even if you signed him to trade him? I mean, can you do that?
No. I mean, the qualifying offer is just, right, 1 year. Isn't that basically just a processing thing? So now he's still restricted and under their control? Let me get that right. I mean, they haven't, like, signed him to a long-term extension.
No, this is just qualifying offer.
Right, so now you have the ability to match, right? Or you can let him go.
Correct.
Or you can do a sign and trade if you identify a player on the team that he's going to that you want back if they need cap room. So, okay.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like
a little jumpy on the breaking news then? I heard some boos in the background. Was that
No, they were booing Lowry. They were booing Lowry Markkanen.
They weren't booing you for hitting the sounder. They were booing Lowry Markkanen.
Are they saying boo Earns or boo?
No, they were booing Lowry. Yeah. No one. He's Mitch in basketball shorts right now. let's go to Matt in Naperville. Matt, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I think it's a great day to be a Cubs fan. This team has been broken for 3-4 years, and they got a haul for a lot of guys. And why not? I mean, I don't understand the love affair with the guys. I get it. I'm a Cubs fan. I love the Rizzo, Javi days. But let's get over this. Let's move on. It's an organization. It's a process. And they did the right thing. And they got assets back. And we're going to move on and have some terrible years. But this is the process that you have to do. And I prefer this over the alternative of signing a couple guys and be miserable with guys that you loved 8 years ago when they won a title in 2016. I think this is the smartest and most logical thing, but I'm just shocked by a Cubs fan saying otherwise.
Yep.
Can't stay together for the kids at this point. You just can't.
I get the emotional reaction. Like I said at 5 when I started that thing. Like, have a beer today and drink to the good times and
Miller
drown
Light.
Your sorrows a little bit. Have a Miller Lite.
Or two.
Yeah, and do all of that. But I think in the big picture, hopefully we'll be sitting here as Cubs fans in 2023, 2024 with a window opening again because they landed 3, 4, 5 guys who make up the new team that you're like, ooh, that's just like when they got Kyle Hendricks. Ooh, that's just like when they got Arrieta. Ooh, that's just like when they got Addison Russell.
There can be fun to a rebuild as you try to see who will be that next, you know, that next group that will take you to a new level.
I love it. Yeah, I don't love it because you're rebuilding for a reason,
Listen, you're not only are you a diehard fan, you're an intelligent fan. You knew this team wasn't doing anything.
No.
Last couple of years.
The only thing they did was tease me in the first 2 months of the season. That's when the confusion
set
in.
I know, but you knew. I mean, you knew.
That they weren't that good.
Yes.
Not because of the pitching.
Yes.
I've always said that.
Yes.
You can't go with Kyle Hendricks and 4 other guys. Yeah. Alzolay some days. You know. Yeah, you weren't doing anything with the pitching staff that they had. Let's go to Jim in Kenilworth. Jimmy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Thank you. Listen, I share the thoughts of the prior call. This is a great day to be a Cubs fan. What was our alter? All we did was write off this season because we didn't think that this group of guys could get us to another World Series. And you know what? They weren't. I mean, look what happened the last 2 or 3 years. You know, one hit in the playoffs. They just weren't the same core. We can re-sign them all if we want to. They're not going to sell their homes here in Chicago. They're going to remember Wrigley Field the way we all do. If they are so, you know, feel about the Cubs like everybody thinks they feel, well, we can sign them again. But I don't think we will because I think these guys, look, you know, their best years were behind them. They're all going to want huge Bryce Harper-type money from their agents. Are you really going to give Chris Bryant a Bryce Harper-type deal?
No.
That's
no,
what he's going to want.
Nope.
Right?
Yeah.
So this was a good thing. And if we could get something from them, we did. We did the smart thing. This is smart baseball.
Jim, I like the call.
You know,
thank
what? I wonder as well, when all is said and done and the smoke clears, the deals that these guys will sign eventually, what will they look like in comparison
to a great topic.
To
I don't know.
What the Cubs may have even offered them.
It's why this became – it started off as a money issue, but I think it's become more of a baseball issue because who knows what the hell they're worth these days.
Right.
Eddie in Washington, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eddie?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I've been a Cubs fan for 33 years now, and I get all the points that it's a great day to be a Cubs fan and all that, but baseball is an emotional sport. And I think with myself and what a lot of people are having a hard time with right now is, you know, these were the guys that got us what we've always wanted, and we kind of went through it with them. We had highs and lows. They did trick us, you know, into thinking that they were better than they were for a few years after the World Series title. But I think the hardest thing to deal with right now is that we're starting all over again with, you know, back to being the lovable losers for the next few years. And I don't believe in ownership, and I don't believe in management. So I can kind of see us being in this position for a long time, for long term. I think that's the hardest thing to deal with right now.
Yeah.
See, this is what I mean. I would feel worse about ownership if they signed all these guys because they wanted to keep the emotional, you know, run together.
Right.
Like, I think that this...
How's Jake working out with the emotional return?
Right. I mean, like, to me, this was the best decision that they could have made. Of course, you have to mourn the, you know, the loss of some of your favorite players, but those guys aren't the same guys that you saw doing great things in 16-17.
That's the funny part. They were off to a good start identifying guys decline like Jake and saying, look, we're not paying Jake 3 years, $75 million. Let him go to Philly. We're going to sign you Darvish. Here he is for $126. They made the right move.
Absolutely.
It took a little while. But then when they started selling him and then they bring back Jake, they compounded. They made a bad move, and they made a bad move after the fact. So, like, I think these are the right moves, too. Now they've got to follow
totally
them
agree.
Up with more good moves.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I don't have a lack of trust in this organization to make the right decisions. Am I 100% certain they are going to? No. But I'm not sitting here saying there's no chance they can't.
All right, let's go Free Ticket Friday right now. It's the last chance on this Friday. Next Friday, we'll start it up again with Cap and Jay Hood at 7:45. We do it at 45 past the hour every single Friday. It's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, located at LaSalle on the River. I bet you the patio right now is
hopping.
Oh, so good. David Flom, Maddie Moore. They're absolutely outstanding. So ring it up right now at 332-3776. Caller number 10, you get tickets to White Sox and Royals. Should be a great second half of the season, and they're primed and ready for a deep run. Remember, we are your home for White Sox baseball each and every game right here on ESPN 1000. All right, 332-3776, the number for the Free Ticket Friday. Also, if you want to weigh in, we've got a quick Bears report, too. We are live at Oak Forest Bowl. What a day today. We're heading to the weekend, drinking ice-cold Miller Lite on ESPN 1000. Go.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie live from the Oak Forest Bowl. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
You nervous, Trey? Shouldn't be.
He's a pro.
I know. That's what I said.
He's already got his show.
I'm just disappointed he's not wearing his, you know, corn dogs two at a time shirt. That could be my favorite shirt of all time.
Let me set the stage here as we're at Oak Forest Bowl. We're winding down. Chris, how long are you on for tonight? A half hour before the Sox game?
Yeah, 30 minutes. Take all the phone calls. Everyone on hold. I will get you on the air. And then we have White Sox baseball coming up at 6:30.
In typical Friday, all calls welcome. 312-332-3776. I'll be entertained on my drive home. And so we're going to continue to take your Cubs and White Sox. I don't remember a day like today. I really don't. It was incredible all day. We'll continue to take your calls. There's also the big fan contest that we've got for Bears camp. So this year, they're having a training camp up at Hallis Hall. This was supposed to be last year, too,
yes.
But because of the pandemic, no fans could go.
I hear they've done a nice job setting it up.
And 1,000 fans this year are being limited to seeing every practice, and that's a good number for us, ESPN 1,000. So of the 1,000 fans, we are asking for one fan who is there. If you have tickets and you're there at Bears practice, we want you to tweet us using that hashtag ESPN Fan Camp. ESPN Fan Camp. Braggs is here right now.
Yeah.
This is really something, an idea that, like, Braggs back in the day was just a fan before he got into the business.
Well, he's a big star now. Like,
yeah, he's a big star now, forgetting about us.
Big pain in the ass.
A big pain in the ass. And, you know, he would be a guy who would be in the stands. That's his show, Braggs.
Mitch
in the
is
stands.
Great. Mitch is great.
Give me
Mitch
a hug,
is great. Mitch is great.
Give me a hug, Mitch. Give me a hug. I'm the only one who believes in you. Dowell, why aren't you playing, Mitch? So anyway, like, he's this fan, and he started sending us videos, and he would come out, and he's like, hey, I was in the stands. This is what happened at Bears practice. And we're like, this is a really good idea.
Yeah.
Besides JD, besides Dan Weider, let's give the voice to some of the fans who go. We always do that anyway. But let's make a contest out of this. Let's hashtag it ESPN Fan Camp. When you're there, send us a picture, and you could be on the air with us. And of all the qualifiers over the 11 practices for the days that we're on the air with our shows, of those 11, we'll pick one. You'll get opening day tickets for the home opener.
Against the Bengals.
Right. It's going to be big. So we had Ryan McHugh earlier today, who was our qualifier yesterday. And Trey Toons, our buddy, was up there today. And then he came. And this is – Trey has been so meaningful to our show, too, as a fan. He's always on Twitch. He's always supporting our show. He's supporting us with parody songs for Crosstalk Unhinged, for the a parody song contest.
He's part of the family.
He's part – Trey, you're part of
the
family.
You're part of the family, Trey.
And Trey Toons is with us. He went from Hallis Hall – to Oak Forest to be with us here today, too. He's got the headset on right now on Waddle and Sylvie.
Yeah.
And congratulations, you are today's qualifier for the ESPN Fan Camp.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited. I mean, I've been excited all day. I've been running on fumes. I haven't been asleep since yesterday yet. And this is just a great opportunity. And the camp was amazing. The setup was great.
Trey was telling me how damn good Justin Fields is.
Oh,
like he could not
tell me
stop.
How good.
All right. Now I'm not just trying to speak as a fan, like being hopeful. No, he looked incredible. I mean, when you see him throw the ball, you just see something special. When you see him drop back the way his progressions, like he's reading the field. I mean, I just have a really strong feeling this guy is going to be something that we're all going to be proud of. And, like, on the defensive side, Roquan Smith looked amazing. I mean, this dude is going to be great. And I'm just so excited. And
does Khalil look healthy this year?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, he ran his drills. He looked great. You saw Eddie Goldman out there. I'm like, thank God. And
Darnell Mooney's also a guy that I got an eye on.
Darnell Mooney. Man, talk about pure speed.
Yeah.
Speed and route running.
He's got a shake to him running routes that is really impressive, yes. Especially for a young guy.
Right, and like he had a move on Jalen Johnson and was open. Unfortunately, he was overthrown by Dalton. But, I mean, just to see that happen. And, like, Nick Foles threw a nice bomb to Allen Robinson. You just saw, of course, the defense was a few steps ahead of the offense, which you expect in the early practices. But other than that, Justin Fields looked amazing. Just seeing, like, okay, this guy's a rookie. And just to see him break down, like the pump fakes and the zip. You know, you remember, like, when you used to watch Michael Vick throw the ball?
I was going to say, just like Mitch.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, it's funny because I used to have the argument with Greg every now and again. I'm like, dude, he looks like an athlete who never really – he was the best athlete, so they just made him play quarterback, and he doesn't really understand the position. Justin, when you watch him, it's the opposite.
Right.
You look like he was born to play that position.
He looks like he belongs.
Yeah.
And it's not just the fans that are thrilled. You can see it in the players. You can see everybody moving around. Everybody's excited. You know, they're responding. I mean, it was a great setup.
I was going to ask you, like, how did the Bears treat you guys as fans?
Corn dogs, right. Two at a time. They had a stand.
Oh, yeah. That's the best kind.
They had a stand.
They had the DJs out there playing music. They had, like, a 360 camera, like, a lot of free stuff, face painting. It was a lot of good things out there. And it just was unfortunate. I know. Just not as many. It wasn't as packed as you thought it would be.
Right.
But it's the first couple of days.
Yeah.
So they're still like working out the kinks, trying to with the whole lottery thing. But you can tell it's going to be great.
That's
all
awesome.
Right. Yeah. Trey, thank you for your support. Thank you for doing this for us today. Again, the hashtag is ESPN Fan Camp. Be like Trey. Be like Ryan. Tweet us when you're at Bears camp. Send us a picture. Tell us what you're seeing. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah. We'll look at all the hashtags, and they'll pick one winner that day. And now you're in the hopper for opening day tickets against the Bengals.
Right. So. By the way, the 5 o'clock hour brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Visit your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealer today to learn more about the all-new Acura TLX.
All right, they always say this to us. They always say, Waddle, Sylvie, why don't you guys ever come to the South Side? Why don't you guys ever come out to the South Side? We came to Oak Forest today, and you guys came out as well. Great, give yourselves a hand, because everyone at Oak Forest Bowl could not have been better. Such great people over here. It was great to see everybody today.
Had a blast.
And I believe we'll be announcing this next week where we're going to be next. I think that's happening in 2 weeks. Miller time. Thank you to Miller Lite. They continue to support us.
Say it, Sylvie. Go Sox. Say it.
good luck to the White Sox. A lot to be excited about. Craig Kimbrell is a member of the White Sox. Ryan Tepera and Hernandez, their new shortstop, Cesar Hernandez. The Cubs, they got rid of everybody today. It is going to be an incredible next several weeks on your home for the White Sox,
Amen.
ESPN 1000.
Amen.
Great work by Sean Davis back at the studio with Chris Black. Black is coming up for a half hour. All calls welcome. If you're on hold, be patient. He will take all of your calls on one of the most eventful days we've ever had with both of our baseball teams. Thanks again to Miller Lite. Thank you to Oak Forest Bowl. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great weekend.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.